Hello and welcome to the Finance Show here on tiptv.co.uk. It's Thursday the 5th of January and I'm joined by a special guest, a late arrival again today. Just managed to slot himself in, Mike Van Dalken, who's Head of Research at Ascendo Markets. How are you today, Mike?
Good morning. Happy New Year. Very well, thanks.
Happy New Year to you. There's plenty of things on the sort of the headlines front. I think we were speaking just before the show about the Fed, the FOMC minutes, which I suppose got to take priority. Mm-hmm. People saying that it was dovish, hawkish. Well, they couldn't really make their mind up.
No, I mean, I certainly was very much at odds reading all this talk of hawkishness. Yes, they highlighted the inflation risks of all these Trump policies, but equally they highlighted the uncertainty related to whether these policies will actually come to a head and indeed whether we will need to hike more times. So markets still only pricing in two hikes next year, which is still a touch lower than their three. I'd expect them to go into that meeting actually saying two, which would allow them the opportunity to upgrade to three or downgrade to one without worrying markets too much, but I'm certainly reading them as dovish more than hawkish, hence why the dollar sold off overnight.
Well, I think Turkey's voting for Christmas as well. They've got a bit of that thing going on there. Rumours of Trump wanting to abolish the Fed or change the way the Fed works, all these sorts of things as well. So, I mean, it's a very volatile time, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I guess he's really jumped on that, right? There's so many things that the average investor is frustrated with, if you like, with markets over the last decade or so. So it's very easy for him to go after these things because he knows they appeal to the man on the street. So an era of low interest rates and extraordinary stimulus for years and years having hampered the average man, these are easy things to go with. So saying, oh, we're going to look at the Fed and decide what to do with it. I mean, the same thing is, it's a bit like wanting to see the ECB minutes after so long, once they were... investors were frustrated with the extreme policy for so long. Look at the talk in Germany of hampered by low rates.
So the central bank's really under... I mean, it's almost part of the populist wave.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah, very much so. I mean, look at Theresa May going after the Bank of England, even. I mean, that was a real turn of events. I mean, they've been left independent for so long, she really went for it, saying, questioning what they're doing.
Okay, well, let's have a look at the headlines and highlights of the day so far. Most popular in business and finance, Amazon's rumored bid for American Apparel could solve its Trump problem in one masterstroke, but an acquisition of the struggling clothing retailer could also help Amazon by solving one of the biggest problems it currently faces, tension with President-elect Donald Trump, according to Business Insider. Any thoughts on that? Is there any way of appeasing Mr. Trump?
Well, with Ford, don't expand your operations in Mexico for a start, things like that. I mean, that's very much, that's good for, if you like, appealing to the president-elect and not wanting to be in the firing line. But is it necessarily good for shareholders? And that's the dilemma that many of these
companies have. A poison pill,
perhaps. Well, absolutely, because, if it increases prices and impacts sales, that's not good for shareholders. That's not what they want.
Same for Ford as well, I suppose.
Absolutely.
It makes their cars more expensive and being in Michigan and everything.
It changes the supply chain. Mexico has become a big hub for many car manufacturers, including not just Ford, VW and the likes of that. So if that changes the way the industry works, that may not necessarily be a good thing after years of, fine-tuning and finding the best setup for the industry.
Maybe the average worker prefer to have to buy a more expensive car when he has a job, he or she has a job, rather than being out of a job and having there being cheap cars which they can't actually buy.
Well, unless the credit conditions are so attractive that
they don't need a job to buy a car.
Well, absolutely, and this is many people are asking whether the car industry is actually a potential subprime thing. After the housing bubble of 2006 exploding.
We'll explore that in a minute. Project fears Brexit doom-mongering has little basis in reality, says damning report. Britain will bounce back from small Brexit blows it may experience, as the nation's economic outlook would have been grey regardless of the referendum vote, top professors have announced, and that's not surprising from The Express, which I believe is slightly on the Brexit side, I believe.
Yeah. This is so difficult because we still haven't done anything. I mean, we're still 2 months away from actually Article 50. Forget that aside. We're still waiting to hear from the Supreme Court about what it believes we need to do. So for me, saying it's not nothing, it's not the disaster it's proved to be, it's very easy to say, but we haven't done anything apart from live with a weaker pound. That's the only real result we've seen. Look at all the PMI indicators rebounding from their knee-jerk lows. But actually, the economic effects of Brexit are miles away yet.
Right. Next is commentary from Nicole Elliott of the Investors Chronicle. Today saw the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders say that a record 2.69 million new cars were sold in Britain last year, which 85% have been imported from abroad. Mm. Cheap financing, especially rolling three-year deals, underpin demand. That's the subprime elephant in the room, I think, and this is expected to dip this year, coming year, as Brexit uncertainty hits fleet sales. So good news for the government and others in raising money from petrol tax and speed cameras and everything else, and insurance, I suppose. Insurance.
Yeah, I mean, some are wondering whether it's kind of peak car, if you like. I mean, the numbers are very impressive in terms of sales, despite the uncertainty we would have seen in 2016. So, I mean, you may even ask yourself, why should they dip in 2017? If they haven't taken a bit of a hit in 16, why shouldn't we move on? The cheap financing, I mean, it's in abundance. I mean, if you've bought a car in the last few years, you're likely to be almost spam emailed by the same dealer offering you weekend discounts, pre-events, etc., asking you to come in and renew, even though the car's only maybe a few years old. So, you know, the kind of, it's almost a churn rate that the dealers need to keep going to keep the supply.
I think Southern Rail may be sponsored by one of these people as well, but there's no direct link at this stage. We'll move along to sentiment amongst Oanda clients, where they are long as they have been, well, they were all last year, of gold and silver in that appropriate ratio, or that ratio. Interestingly, even though this can be a contrarian indicator, they've got the Aussie dollar right, being bullish of that in recent days. Not quite sure how it's going to work out for them with pound dollar. They've gone less positive of the euro dollar after this latest bounce that we've had over 105. Mm. And then the surprise probably that on dollar yen, in fact, they've been going short of dollar yen, and dollar yen has actually fallen. So had a good start, these people, for the beginning of 2017. The contrarian idea of going against the dollar has actually worked out.
Yeah, I mean, the dollar yen was just on the cusp of some technical resistance, which went back a fair way. I can't think how far back now, but it was an easy one to spot there. Then again, you know, we saw it overnight. The sell-off in the dollar led to reciprocal yen strength, which hindered the Nikkei in only its second session of the year. So that's a fairly even one. That said, you know, if it does break, if we get persistent another rally, if you like, in the dollar, and the yen can break above that, you know, that could open it to, you know, significant weakness, which would obviously help the Nikkei in its run higher. But yeah, surprising on the bullishness on the pound there, because that would almost go against you know, Brexit worries, as well as the Fed hiking.
Yeah, the trend here tends to be they tend to be contrarian, but they've been slapped with the strong trend in the yen, but we'll see in the dollar, but we'll see how that works.
Gold's a good one. That breakout, you know, further. The recent rebound is still gathering steam, you like, and of course the weakening dollar we're seeing, if that does persist, that's only going to help it.
Okay, well, let's move along to economic calendar, ADP, employment change, initial jobless claims, ISM, non-manufacturing composite, and crude oil inventories, and obviously we're trading ahead of the non-farms tomorrow, which, as usual, have been called around the 180 mark.
Yeah, that's kind of the rolling average. I think we're expecting the same for ADP, although ADP is down from last month. But for me, as long as it comes in between 150 and 250, you're on kind of on drain around 200, that's fine. I think the real thing is the fact that the unemployment rate is so low, and looking at the wage growth and the participation rates are almost more important.
Okay, let's go on to the Tip TV trade of the day by Bovis Homes, around the 800 pence level, objective 865, stops above... or probably below 770, on the basis that house builders could, I suppose that the dip in the house builders will see a revival in demand over 2017. Mm-hmm. Going on to Investors Intelligence co-report, the S&P has formed a simple flag pattern since the first half of December. The continuation pattern looks complete, and an extension into fresh high territory is imminent. Momentum conditions are comfortable thanks to the market's pause. Now is allegedly the time to consider adding ahead of the next move to the upside, and at least from a technical perspective, it's difficult to argue with that.
No, I think the RSI bounce there at the midpoint is a particularly good sign there.
It's one of my favourites, that one.
Hold in the upper half, that's a bullish sign. And again, this flag is almost a second flag. There's almost a little gap, uh, sorry, a, a little pause there towards the end of the year, which we had the spurt higher, so that again bodes quite well.
Okay, let's go on to the broker recommendations for UK stocks, which I picked out. I don't know whether to laugh or cry about next. I think both of us called the shares down at the beginning of the week, or maybe before that. It was difficult to see how they would do well, let's say. It was only a matter of just how much they could smooth over the cracks. Then on Premier Oil, I enjoyed the retreat from Macquarie there with the old target 103 and the new one at 80 pence, which I think is roughly where the shares are at the moment. And then interesting that we've got Jefferies on the buy side of Shire with a quite ambitious target there. So see, just have a look at the charts there. You can see that so far Next has bounced just below £40, but maybe a risk of another push towards 38 at that bottom of that channel.
Lovely
that channel there. But it was very difficult to be bullish of the stock ahead of the update that we had. Premier Oil. It's right up to the that range. So it's having another go at breaking 80 pence. Obviously worth waiting for that,
yes.
For a 100 pence target. And then Shire hit by both first Clinton fears over the drug sector, and then by Trump also not very happy about the way they operate. So I suppose we're going to need to break that line there, just below the £49.50 to get the shares back up to the top of the range, but the near-term moving average is starting to rise there, so that does actually look quite.
It's even exceeded its potential, I think, for a flag. That kind of pause we saw mid-December, and it's really had a good rally. Which moving average is that? Your 50-day. What's the break above that? It's really
yes. So it does look quite encouraging. So that's what I picked up. In the meantime, we'll see how that goes. Mike Van Dalken, head of research at Sendo Markets. Thanks for opening the Tip TV Finance Show for us today.
Thank you.